Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk again today about the Kingdom of God, and we're going to do it from the point of view of the big C word, which is not conspiracy, but cancer. And there may be some conspiracy involved in cancer, but we're going to talk about cancers and the principles of cancer and what is this thing that causes cancer, and why is there such a pandemic of cancers today? I mean, years ago, even when I was a kid, I was hearing about the rise of cancer. And then, half a generation later, people are talking about the rise of cancer. Well, is it continuously rising? Are we getting more and more cancers today than ever before? What exactly is this thing called cancer? Why are so many people getting it? Why is it supposedly so difficult to cure? Why is the medical profession having so bad a record of actually curing cancer? And what is the difference between curing cancer and healing cancer? And I could just go on all day about all the different questions that we could ask on this subject. And I probably will go on all day about it because we've got a couple hours here where we can talk about this subject. We'll have another hour this afternoon that we'll broadcast. I may get on some of the community calls that are going on today, and we'll talk about it. And it's a kind of an interesting topic and kind of an important topic because it affects so many people. Even if you don't get cancer, somebody you know will likely get cancer. And you should know as much about it as possible because in the kingdom, you're the doctor. You're the source of healing. You're the individual who's going to implement whatever healing or cure might take place. Now, I sent out a notice just before I went on the air to everybody on the Living Network, and everybody should be on the Living Network that listens. And the Living Network is not just an email group, although we have a email network that we refer to sometimes as the network or the Living Network. The Living Network is actually congregations of people who actually are learning what Christ came to teach you, which is how to love your neighbor. And they start this by loving their families and taking care of their families, or if they don't have families, they get to know a family and they start loving that family. They become an adopted member of that family in some sort of spiritual, emotional, social way. And they start caring for that family as much as they care about themselves. And they do this in a free assembly, which we call congregations. And those free assemblies start caring about each other in that assembly. And they begin to develop an identity of caring because they practice it. That's called religion. The religion is the fulfillment of your duty to God and your fellow man. And your duty to your fellow man, according to God, is to love your neighbor as yourself. Moses said it. Abraham did it. Jesus preached it. It's basically what John the Baptist was saying. And it's not love to covet your neighbor's goods or to send men to your neighbor's house to force him to contribute to what you want. That's not love. That's what socialists do, but that's not love. Socialists love to take money from one group of people and give it to another so that they don't have to take the money out of their own pocket. They don't have to sacrifice themselves. They want to sacrifice somebody else. They do not have the character of Christ. And there are a lot more people out there that are socialists, you call them communists. And when I grew up, there was a big thing about communism. It was a bad thing. And we still have a little bit of that. But, I mean, it was, you know, I grew up in the day of Herb Felbrick and Dr. Schwartz and these guys who were, you know, you could trust a communist to be a communist. And they were afraid that everybody was a communist. There were communists everywhere. And there were closet communists everywhere. But a closet communist is someone who thinks he's not a communist, but he believes in social democracy. And FDR was a social democrat. And, you know, if you read our articles on democracy and socialism, eventually you'll come, or the Constitution, Contracts, Covenants, and Constitution, all available for free online. You'll see that nobody in early America was really pro-democracy. There was almost all of them had something bad to say about democracy. You can go all the way back to the days of Caesar and Plutonius, Polybius, or Eusebius, and they're all saying things bad about democracy. George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, saying bad things about democracy. And then we point out that in the military manual of the United States given to its soldiers, they talk bad about democracy in 1927. But by 1945, our opinions all changed, evidently, or at least we were told to have different opinions that democracy was good. The only one I could find early on in the 18th century, or 1800s, that was pro-democracy was Karl Marx, because it leads to socialism, and socialism leads to communism. So, anyway, why do I say this? It's because you're going to see, before we're done, then we'll tie this into this topic of cancer. That cancer is an identity-caused disease. Somebody doesn't know who they are. Somebody thinks they're somebody else. Somebody doesn't identify with the body, and they begin to kill the body. And some very fascinating discoveries about cancer start to give you an idea that cancer is a concept. It's a precept, not in accordance with this precept and concept of life that Christ came to give you. It's not... A cancer cell is not being true to the body. It's doing its own thing. But there's some very interesting things about a cancer cell that's going to tell you something about the nature of the kingdom and the nature of those kingdoms, not of the kingdom, not of the world of Christ, of another kind of world. And that world is predominant today, and that's why you have cancer today. Is because the precepts of the kingdoms of the world that Christ's kingdom is not a part of is the kingdom that is running things in this world today. A number of things, and fortunately I put them down on notes. One of the things I just sent out, because one of my computers just went blue screen on me, just sitting here, just all of a sudden it went blue screen on me, where I had some notes that I wanted to share with you. One of the things, so I'm going to have to go from memory on that, but I do have some handwritten notes that I took while I was listening to a show on... cancer, the truth about cancer, and everybody on the network has heard about this because I've sent out notices that they're giving a free showing of this truth about cancer video that's like a 9-part video, and each part is over an hour long, so it's got a lot of information. Everything that they're saying in the video is probably not true. Everybody that is speaking in the video you may not be able to trust. But it's a conversation with people who have been dealing with this topic of cancer in many different ways, other than the way that you normally see being dealt with it by your typical in the hospital oncologist and AMA treater of cancer. There, one of the things that is very clear is that the modern cancer treatment does not have a very successful rate. That there are people who are cured and they are, there's what they call spontaneous I can't think of the word, but where the cancer stops producing and begins to shrink up and disappear. And they just say that's a coincidence, but there are countless. I know people myself who had cancers, were sent home to die, and did some of these alternative care treatments, changed the way they lived, and the cancer completely went away, just disappeared. It shrunk up, died, and they lived another 20, 30 years, into their 90s in some cases. So the reality is that doctors don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers, but God has all the answers. And we're not doing what God says, so we're not going to hear His answers. He tells us that when we go and reject Him, and when when the people of Israel elected Saul to be their king, to exercise authority one over the other, to rule over them, to fix things that they didn't want to attend to themselves, things that had to do with the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. God told the people through Samuel that He would take and take and take and take and take. He would take your sons and daughters and He would convert them to His purposes. And when you cry out, He would not hear you. You go to Samuel 8, you can read the whole thing. And the same warning you find in Common Sense by Thomas Paine. And modern Americans, modern Christians throughout the world are not reading Samuel 8. They do not understand Samuel 8. And they look to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over each another to obtain benefits, to obtain security, to obtain salvation in this life. And yet they think they're Christians, even though that's directly against what Christ said you were to be like. Solomon became, and many of the other leaders of Israel became, cancers in their society. They converted the natural energy and health and well-being of society to their own purposes. That's what cancers do. That's what a cancer cell does. So people get involved in politics and they want to elect a different leader that's not going to do the same thing. That's going to be different than the leaders of the world. Than the leaders that they have now. That's like going to an oncologist often and having radiology and chemotherapy and all these other things. Or if you just go to a doctor because, what is the doctor going to do when you go to a doctor? And I'm not saying don't go to doctors. I'm just saying understand the principles. Because you may need to go to a doctor. You may need to go to a doctor because you've got something to work out. You may have a message for him. I have no idea. I'm not trying to create ways in which you are going to conduct your life. I want you to start listening to the Holy Spirit. And so that's why I want to talk about the principles of cancer. Because I said in an email that I sent out that I hope I sent out before the computer crashed, this whole idea of cancer we see repeated in every aspect of our life. We see it physically in the body of individuals. We see it in the politics where we have members of society who develop a life of their own, a purpose of their own, and begin to, most people who have cancer, they die not of the cancer, but of loss of protein in the body and body mass, and they waste away. And the cancer just takes all the life out of them for its own purpose. One of the interesting things I discovered, or at least I heard on this video that, as I've been listening to, and there's still a bunch more parts left, is that cancer cells are immortal. They don't die. I found that fascinating. Because that's telling you something about the principle of cancer. It's telling you something about the spirit that is operating in that we see manifested, let's put it that way, that we see manifested in that cancer cell. Now, I'm not saying that everybody who has cancer is, invaded by some unholy spirit. But there is an unholy spirit that has a great influence on society. And it is changing the course of society. And we need to change our course of our life back. My father and my grandfather both had cancer. Neither one of them died of cancer, but they died of the treatment that they received from doctors. And my grandfather was a doctor, old school doctor. I mean, he used to go to house calls in a buggy. So that's old school doctor. In the middle of the night, I remember him telling a story about he had to cross a bridge, and he wasn't sure if the buggy was narrow enough to get across the bridge when he saw it coming, but he didn't dare stop because it was snowing and all this stuff, and so he just trotted across the bridge, and he says he was sure that the rim of the wheel was just hanging over the edge as he crossed this old wooden bridge in the middle of a snowstorm in the middle of the night to go out and help deliver a baby. So, there were cars around shortly after that, even when my son was my dad was growing up. He was talking about seeing the first electric car ever come into, I think they were living in Dolan, South Dakota at the time. And it was being driven by two nuns, and it made no noise whatsoever. This is, one of these stick, no steering wheel, just kind of a stick-driven vehicle. But it was electric, and made no noise, and had these two nuns. He had never seen nuns before, and so it was like an invasion from another planet. So anyway, they came out of that old-school thinking and everything, and of course, having a father who was a doctor, he went to doctors and had a cancer that the doctors navigated around. It was cutting off his duodenum so that he could not ingest food. And it was one of these finger-growing tumors. It was literally strangling. It had wrapped itself around the duodenum, and it was strangling his body, killing him. And so that he couldn't eat any food. And so they bypassed the cancer. They couldn't operate on it because they had too many of these fingers. So they bypassed it, and he began to eat. He began to eat and digest food and started getting better. But a radiologist convinced him that, I can kill that cancer with radiology. And his own doctor advised against it because he said it was in a very difficult area. It was too near other vital organs, like the liver. And of course, the radiologist won out because of our faith in doctors, and because of we put our hope in them that they will save us. And that's a bad thing. Now, a doctor may have a lot of skill, but you don't put your hope in the doctor. Put your hope in something else. And my dad died of liver failure because he blew a hole through the liver with his radiation. He did not kill the cancer, and my dad didn't. Cancer was slow growing. They said it would probably be 20 years before it caused any serious problem at the rate it was growing. And that may be true. But I thought it was interesting that the cancer seemed to have it in for my dad to begin with. Because it could have grown in there without, there was no purpose to it strangling the duodenum. But it literally wrapped around the duodenum and squeezed it until no food would pass through. And it was made up of these cells that don't die, you know. And so anyway, there are some other interesting things that I heard on the show about cancer. And so I'm just sharing this background with you so that you get a little bit of an idea of and start thinking about the topic. But an interesting thing is that cancer cells are always what they call stem cells. And stem cells are in the body. And it's very interesting what stem cells are. You know, why do we age? Why does a cancer cell become immortal, yet we are not immortal? Yet we were told that somehow or other we were immortal at one time. But then we sinned and we began to age. And supposedly, according to biblical chronology, people used to live for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years even after being in the garden. And then after the flood, our lifespan began to be shortened. And now it's like programmed into us that we will automatically age, grow old, and die. Yet doctors will tell you that according to the way the body works, we should not grow old and die. According to the way the body works, that if you lost a kidney, you know, you got damaged. Somebody ran a spike through you and killed one of your kidneys. And they had to surgically remove it, you know, because it was, you know, damaged with flesh. If somebody, you know, shot you or something, killed one of your kidneys. That theoretically, a stem cell should attach itself to where that kidney is and grow another kidney. Stem cells don't know who they are yet. They haven't decided to be a liver cell, a kidney cell, whatever. I mean, people think, well, that's impossible. How could you grow another kidney from one cell? Well, how did you get here? You got here from one cell. Two cells combined together into one cell and then began to split and divide and become two cells and four cells and eight cells and 16 cells. Not very many cells, but it kept on doing this, and 9 months later you popped out with liver and kidneys and fingers and toes and bones and assumedly a brain. All from that one cell dividing. And cells in that fetus deciding to become a liver cell. Now, the cell, the original cell, all had the same DNA. The first two, three, four, eight cells have the same exact DNA. All your cells have the same exact DNA. But somehow or other, something told this cell to become a kidney, and this one to become a liver, and this one to become fingers. Something else besides the DNA is going on. Something's turning on the DNA in each cell to tell it to do that. And in a cancer cell, it decides to be something different. And we're going to talk about that, being something different, when we come back to Keys of the Kingdom. Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We're talking about cancers in society, cancers in politics, spiritual cancers, and physical cancers. And the physical cancer is a manifestation of something going wrong in our bodies. And there are a lot of other physical characteristics of cancer seen in society. And we also see it in our minds and in our spirit. So we're going to take a look at that cancer cell and what it does to get some spiritual insight into spiritual cancers and mental cancers and social cancers. Cancer is an identity problem. A cell that has your DNA in it, your program, hardwired with DNA, suddenly decides it's not going to be you anymore. It's going to be something else. And it seems to develop an identity of its own. Now, just to give you an idea that, you know, you can get microbes, fungus, that produces with spores that will actually, in a petri dish, it will start gathering together and forming a tower outside of this petri dish where it's growing in a medium, some sort of tissue or liquid medium where the fungus is growing. And it begins to form a tower. And as the fungus grows up out of the tower, it begins to die and make this like long, tall tower sticking up. And in the center of that tower, there's like a cavern, a vein, which is passing food up as well as, you know, the nutrients and everything up to the fungus tower to the top of this little mound you see raising up in the middle of the fungus petri dish. And finally, at the very top, there will be spores released. And why did they get that elevation? Is because when they release the spores, they want that fungus to go out, the spores to go out and start new colonies. And the higher they go, the more likely it is, the farther it will spread. How did the fungus figure that out? It doesn't have a brain. It's just coincidence that it figured this out to where some of the fungus is literally sacrificing itself in order to continue the species. It's fungus. It's working like some sort of governmental body to reproduce itself somewhere else. Another interesting thing I discovered about cancer, or that somebody discovered and says about cancer, is that a lot of times cancer cells, when they first start to grow inside the body, whether it's a tumor or spread out, but when they first start to grow, they don't attack the body in any way, shape, or form. They don't steal and rob and you know, strangle duodenums or whatever. That they just wait until they get enough in their colony before they began to make their presence felt. You know, and it's kind of like socialists. People they didn't want to identify themselves as communists. You know, I mentioned Herb Philbrick and Dr. Schwartz. Herb Philbrick was the guy who I led three lives. He was an undercover agent for the FBI, and he was also a member of the Communist Party, and he also was working as a spy for communist governments, and as a double agent. And, he was actually a loyal American. That's where his true identity was, but he played the part of a member of the Communist Party and a double agent, and they made a TV series about him, and I grew up watching the TV series and eventually got to meet Herb Philbrick and had Thanksgiving dinner with him. So that's like, again, the era that I grew up in, because they could see this communism as a cancer in society. But see, the cancer of communism is the covetousness of communism. It's the desire to force members of your society to serve your needs. And the proletariat don't remain pure. At first, they talk about, you know, saving society and stopping the abuses of society and stopping, you know, these rich corporate individuals who take from society, and we're going to control those. But they end up with the power to control everybody else, and you end up with gulags and abuses. Now, at first, they're going to do all kinds of things that are going to, people are going to praise. But eventually, they get around where they become a cancer. And they begin to devour the very body and destroy the very body. And that's what you saw with Stalin, where he took the breadbasket of the Ukraine and he stole their seed grain. So they couldn't even farm. And he starved millions of people to death. And became totally paranoid, where he was destroying the very fabric of his own society. And that's the natural course of events, just like it's the natural course of cancer to destroy the body. It's not going to do it right away. It's going to eventually get around to it, but it's going to live itself. And there's a corporate nature to a cancer, where these cells begin to work together, like the finger cancer that reaches out. And even when you look at some of the smallest cancer cells, you see them starting to attach themselves. And it's another entity, no longer with your DNA, your purpose, living in you, dividing and making more and more cells. And there's a lot of reasons why they can do this. Yet, being almost eternal themselves. And corporations are eternal. You know, corporations don't die. Theoretically, they can die. And you read our articles on the golem, and of course you kill a golem with the truth. That's how you kill it. So anyway, but another story. Let's go back to cancer. Cancer cells. These principles are found over and over again. And so you got cancer cells that don't die, that reproduce, that eventually form a mass that will actually strangle and kill and deplete the resources of the body, because it wants to live and it doesn't care whether you live. And it can actually become an instrument of your death. It can try to kill you. Physically try to kill you. Now, it may not go that way for a long time. It may be just become bigger and bigger and bigger. I mean, I've heard of huge, giant, 50-pound cancers that have to be surgically removed that this person is carrying around with them. I mean, there's all kinds of different ways in which this cancer, but there's certain underlying things that you always see. Just like there's all kinds of, political systems. But one of the nature of the political system or cancer is that it has an identity of its own. Sustaining its life is more important than sustaining your life. It doesn't care. The political system eventually will begin to manifest characteristics where it does not care about you as much as it cares about itself. I mean, I live in America, so there's this government called the United States government, and it has a Congress, it has a president, it has a vice president, it has a Senate. And they sometimes seem to care more about themselves than they do the rest of the people. It's because they're equivalent to a cancer in your society. And they're going to take and take and take and take. And they're going to sustain themselves. People can't even figure it out. They don't even know what to expect. I can tell you what to expect. This has gone on in history time and time again, but back in the 50s, they did the Rees Commission, and they discovered that philanthropic organizations, corporations, not that corporations are bad, I'm just telling you, because literally your liver, the liver in your body, the kidney in your body is a corporation of cells. That liver is a corporation. It's two or more liver cells gathered together for a particular purpose under the pre-existing authority of your DNA and body. And your liver is actually providing a service for you. It's a corporation of your body. A cancer is its own corporation, has its own separate identity, and is getting its authority to live in your body from somewhere else. Not from your DNA. Okay, so, you know, I'm using these analogies so you begin to think in precepts rather than in, the catchphrases that we always use. You know, that we begin to think outside the box. I'm trying to help you think outside the box and begin to understand certain principles. And it's going to take more than 2 hours here to get to the real spiritual aspects, but you can see me hinting at. Or some of you can. And this is an individual journey. You're going to have to take a look at your own spirit, your own soul, your own being, in order to really understand what cancer is all about. And all the other cancers in society that you're a part of, that you feed, that you create. So anyway, knowing a corporation is two or more individuals gathered together for a particular purpose under a pre-existing authority, that in itself is not a bad thing. What pre-existing authority? I mean, by that definition, husband and wife married under the eyes of God is a corporation. It's two or more people gathered together for a particular purpose under a pre-existing authority, that of God. The authority is what gives it its cancer. I mean, its character. And that character is either going to be cancerous or it's going to give life. And there can be combinations of these things because right now you're caught between two worlds. Between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of hell. The kingdom of hell wants you to form your body, your spirit, your family according to its authority and character, its name. And God wants you to form your family, your relationships with your community, etc., according to the name of Christ. So if you begin to listen to Satan, to the adversary, to the way that's contrary to the way of Christ, your relationships will become cancerous. Now, the cancer that we see manifesting in the physical society, in the bodies of individuals, is simply the tip of an iceberg. We have been seduced away from the ways of Christ hundreds of years ago. Many of you, your parents were seduced away. And I'm not saying that they're all bad, but they are beginning to be seduced away. They're accepting ideas and rejecting ideas that are taking them away from the kingdom of God. You need to start re-examining your own souls, your own minds, your own hearts, your own relationships, and start moving back towards the kingdom of God. And this will affect your healing. One of the things that I pointed out in the email that I sent out announcing this program, which I did, it evidently did get out. I've gotten away from my blue screen during the break, and I was able to check that. But I make a distinction between the words cure and healing. You don't want to be cured. No, you don't want to be cured of cancer. You want to be healed of cancer. Now, there's an interesting thing about God and the Spirit. God is talking to every one of you all the time. He's trying to tell each of you the truth all the time. That is the nature of God. He's all around you, everywhere. The kingdom of heaven is everywhere. It's at hand. It's within your midst. But you're not hearing it all the time. You're not sensing it all the time. Because other things are also here. And they're trying to draw your attention away from the kingdom of heaven and the ways of Christ. And one of the biggest tools it does to do that is religion. Or what's posing as religion today. We've explained this in articles. Religion was the performance of your duty to God and your fellow man. That's what religion was. But today, religion is what you think about God. So, you know, when I sent out the notices of this free, showing of this DVD on cancer, The Truth About Cancer, somebody wrote me back and said that, that the Lord is the answer. He is the solution. Not experts. Well, of course, you know, depending on who you ask, the people that are in this video are either experts or kooks. They're not considered experts. And as a matter of fact, they are saying something contrary to what the experts are saying. So, I mean, what's an expert? And so, anyway, so I asked the guy. He said that we were, I says, I can't remember exactly what I asked him. I could go back here and find the email. But eventually he just sent me one line, Matthew, I think it was 6:33 anyway. But basically it was the one that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So I asked the guy, so what does that look like in your life? Because I wanted to know, where is this guy coming from? I mean, he quoted the Bible, but, I mean, Satan can quote the Bible. I don't know this guy from the man on the moon. He's just on our Kingdom News list. I don't recognize the name as any of the congregations, but then again, I'm not always that good at that. There's a lot of people out there. But I wanted to find out more about the guy, so I thought that was the simplest question. So what do you think it means to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness? In your life, how does that manifest itself? What's the fruits of that in your life? Because that's how you know, is by their fruits. And so anyway, a series of emails went back and forth, but he never would answer that simple question. He says that I'm changing the topic. No, the topic was, you said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all else will be added unto you, which I assume he means good health. So I asked him, what does that look like? How do I know you're actually seeking the kingdom of God, not just using a Bible quote to lure people away from something that might help them? Because this looking at cancer is looking at the problem in society, at least an aspect of the problem, a physical aspect of the problem manifesting itself in our physical bodies. That's the fruit of something manifesting itself in our physical bodies. And so we're getting a message from heaven when we have cancer. And I tell you, when a family is presented with a member of the family or a close friend even who has cancer, that this is challenging us to think outside the box. Although many people just go right down to the doctor and let the doctor do whatever they want, because the doctor is going to cure them. They have a monopoly on the word cure. You can't tell people you can cure them. And you don't want to cure them. You know, I looked up the definition of cancer. Is a term used for a disease in which abnormal cells divide without control and are able to invade other tissue. Sounds like spies. Sounds like a fifth column coming into your body. You know, we had this huge immigration. We were on the road the other day, and there's a big sign, the beware of migration. And then it's a flashing sign. And then it said something about deer. And I thought that would be a good picture to take a picture of that flashing, big, huge, giant sign over the highway. And I think it was on Highway 97. And of course, we have this huge migration of people coming from different countries in North Africa and what have you, and invading Europe. And they say right out that they want to go to England, and then they want to go from England to Canada and to the United States. It's a huge migration. Somebody's invading us, the tissue of our society. And they're bringing their own DNA, spiritual, emotional, social DNA. You know, they've screwed up their country, and now they want to come and screw up our country. And we are a fit habitation for them because we've already screwed it up ourselves. We just haven't realized that we've made a home in our society for wickedness and evil. And so evil is coming. Now, I'm not saying all immigrants are evil. I mean, some of those immigrants are actually fleeing the evil that is in the world today. And it's been growing in the world for the last century at tremendous leaps and bounds. And it's a spirit of taking, of raping, of devouring, of and it seems to be coming out of the Middle East and North Africa, but the reality is it's everywhere. It's also coming out of places like South America. Now, with those immigrants that are coming, there are good people, or people that would receive the message of the kingdom of God. So you can't, I'm not saying immigrants are bad in any way, shape, or form. But I'm saying with that huge shifting of population, it's like a cancer cells suddenly spread throughout the body, spreading their cancer everywhere. And you can't tell, when you just look at blood, you can't tell which cell, you can't see which cell is cancerous and which cell is actually bringing you life. But that's what you're going to have to develop a view to see. So anyway, this cancer cell that is growing inside your body abnormally with its own identity can eventually invade other tissue and begin to steal energy from other tissue around it. Absorb, you know, take food from other, and that's what we see in society. We see that same spiritual principle being repeated. Europe is being inundated by these people who immediately go in and get on welfare and facilities. They're actually going right into homes now. They get such mobs. They go right into homes and take what they want. They get on buses and they say, you have to take us to the next stop. And it says, no, this is as far as the bus goes. And it says, we want to go to the next stop. You must take us. And the person who's driving the bus is actually an immigrant, but they came from another viewpoint. When they came as immigrants, they tried to blend into society and work with society, and they were appreciative of society. Now we have this huge number of people coming, and they want what they want, and they want it now. So anyway, I also gave the definition of two other words, cure and healing. I said, you don't want to be cured, you want to be healed. So in order to be healed, you must deal with the actual cause. Cure is defined. I'm going to read these actual definitions. Just Googled it. Define cure. This is what showed up. Is defined, relieve a person or animal of the symptoms of disease or the conditions that they cause. Curing can also be preserve meat. Well, are you meat? Are they preserving your meat? But anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting that these two different words, cure as a meat preservative or fish or tobacco or animals or anything. But it is defined, cure is defined as just to relieve the symptoms of a disease or the adverse effects. It doesn't talk about actually removing the disease or the cause. And that's actually what they do. They want to. They're not remove. They actually open up when they treat most cancers. They're interested in killing the cancer cells that are causing the problem. And when they do that, the cancer comes back in 5 years, or 6 years, or 7 years, and it comes back more aggressive than ever before because they never dealt with the cause. Healing has to do with the cause. We're going to talk more about this on Keys to the Kingdom. So stay with us. Join us. We'll be back.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net. Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about cancers. We're talking about all kinds of cancers. We're talking about physical cancers. We're talking about mental cancers, emotional cancers, political cancers, social cancers, every kind of cancer there is. Because cancer is a precept of creation. It's part of creation. It's not the happy part. It's a very heartbreaking part in many cases, devastating part of life today. It's becoming more and more prominent all the time in society on many, many different levels. And you can't even imagine how many different levels that this cancer can manifest itself in your life, in your family, in your society. That, you know, when you have a physical individual in your family that has cancer, and it can be very, I mean, it's one of the big fear things that people see. And you know, you can go and listen to the Truth About Cancer, the videos, and if you're on our network, we will send you the link. You can, just about any one of the groups will probably has a copy of the link where you can get notices of the free showings. There's one each day. And they've already, I think they've had four now. I didn't get a chance to listen to the fourth one. Too busy. But I might be able to do that today sometime if I don't see too many more blue screens. you know, I've followed this topic for years and years. And like I was just saying in the previous show, is you do not want to be cured of cancer. Any kind of cancer, you do not want to be cured of cancer. You want to be healed. Because curing simply is dealing with the symptoms of the problem. It's not dealing with the problem. If you actually deal with the real problem of the cancer, and this is one of the things that you see, kind of the underlying themes throughout so far through the videos that they have shared with us, is that you have to change deep inside yourself to deal with cancer. And, you know, there's nobody who has cancer that doesn't have to think outside of the box of what they were thinking in before they had cancer. But, and I'm not saying that, you know, it's, all disease is the result of sin. It's not necessarily individual sin. It could be, you know, sin of society. I mean, there are all kinds of carcinogenic substances that are pressing the envelope of our immune system. The foods that we eat, the chemicals that are in our society. And they even touched on this, I think, in probably episode 3. They talked about GMOs. And, you know, my own science background, way back in the 60s, I was conducting experiments concerning plant growth and making plants grow twice the size they normally would. And so I have a little bit of background and understanding that genetically modified organisms is one of the greatest threats to mankind there is today. Now, there are all kinds of threats on all kinds of levels, but genetically modifying organisms is, you know, if I wanted to destroy the human population of the world, and I was an evil, malevolent force, one of the things I would want people to do is to start genetically modifying their food source so that it literally becomes a poison. It causes infertility rates and destroys society. Decreasing the amount of children that you are able to even have. Deplete your body so that you aren't getting the nutrients you need. Become more disease becomes more prevalent. Gastrointestinal problems become more prevalent. All this is happening. And the political cancers of the world are actually facilitating it, making it illegal to tell you that this food is produced from genetically modified organisms. They don't want you to know. They're disguising the poison and keeping you from knowing that the poison is coming. And they tell you things like, oh, you need genetically modified foods, or oh, so you're going to feed the world. And just some of the information that comes to you from some actual people that I know of for years and have followed their careers, they're very bright, very intelligent, very dedicated people. There's got to be a place in the kingdom for these people. Even though they're not a part of our network, you know, they're following some spirit that is showing them the truth and exposing the lies that are permeating through society now. That, you see, if you were following a certain spirit, the spirit of Christ, really a Christian, following what Christ said, doing what Christ said, you would begin to see innovative ways to produce food on a huge scale. And you would be able to feed, you know, and if you gathered together with other people, having at least the mentality and mental capacity of a fungus spore, actually come together, sacrificing yourselves one for another, you would prosper. But if you're out to, you know, like most survivalists are out to save themselves or just save your family, you've already entered the enemy camp. You see, you've already began to align yourself with the spirit of evil, this cancerous spirit that is permeating through society. If you want to become immune to the evil that is coming, you know, it's coming in so many different ways. All the chemistry, the poisons that are being produced in society, the GMOs being produced in society, the influx of violent, malevolent immigrants coming into society, washing over the borders with some people that are legitimately coming here and could actually be your allies. You know, people have talked in this valley years ago, you know, like when things fall apart, everybody always talks about those things at one time or another. You know, guys have actually planned on blowing the pass so that nobody can come into this valley. And I thought, like, why? You know, like, they're talking about shooting everybody that comes over the hill. I said, that's crazy. You know, some of those people that come over the hill may save your life. You can't do that. You know, of course, it's just talk. These guys are just talking. Nobody's actually, well, I don't know. Maybe somebody is actually planning it. You know, they certainly have the resources in parts of these valleys out here. We live in a high desert valley in one of the least populated areas of the state of Oregon. In the poorest county in the state of Oregon. You know, we're over 4,000 feet. And there's a lot of rugged individualism still out here. But anyway, the point is that how do you know the difference? If you want to be saved, and this is one of the things I see coming in the responses and emails of people say, keep my eyes on Christ. Well, do you even see Christ? And that's why I asked the question, so what does it look like to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Because what you're doing is the fruit of what you're doing. The fruit of what you really believe is going to be manifest in what you're doing. And I'm going to know whether you really believe in Jesus, whether you have your eyes on the real Jesus or one of the fake Jesuses created by the 40,000 denominations out there. And I tell you that you cannot be cured of... You cannot be healed of cancer. Really safely healed of cancer. Unless you begin to change the way you think. And that's what repentance is. Change the way you think. And there's no guarantee that you'll be healed of cancer even if you begin to change the way you think. We get a limited lifespan. We have a limited amount of time. And whatever we deal with in our life, it should not be about our personal survival. It should be about the survival of others. That even if we die of cancer, we need to pass something on to our loved ones in that process. And I think that actually happens in families. That some members of the family learn from somebody else's devastating death and cancer. And they begin to make choices that are outside of the box they would have been in had their family member not died of cancer. You know, there was a show, I think it was 2011 or 2012 or whatever. It had some name like that. And in it, you know, the whole world is just falling apart and buildings are collapsing and cracks in the ground. And this guy takes off and his whole adventure and eventually finds these arks built somewhere that going to survive. And he's going along with this rich guy who's totally selfish. His wife is totally selfish. Young wife. But he has these two boys. And finally, and they're totally selfish too. They're totally spoiled. Finally, at the last minute of this guy's life, instead of saving himself, he throws one of his sons over to somebody else to catch so that his son will be saved. In the last minutes of his life, the last seconds of his life, he finally did something to save somebody else besides himself. That was the huge moment of the whole ridiculous show to me. Is that somebody, you know, it was Cusack was in it, I think. But I can't remember who that played the bad guy there. But that's what we need to do if we're going to pass on anything to our surviving members of our family. It needs to be the importance of how important unselfishness is. How important, let's put it in another term, how important sacrifice is. On one web group, it's on Facebook, somebody on my Facebook page, and we have a His Holy Church Facebook, that I don't, people put posts up about me, but I don't control that page, but I have a personal Facebook page, and there's a lot of different guys on that, and people are talking, somebody was discovering that a lot of the information and perceptions of the Bible were wrong, and that he was going to throw out his Bible and he was going to get another one, that he thought, he's thinking of Tyndale, I have a Tyndale. But you don't need another Bible. You can, if that's what is on your heart, go ahead and get one. Go ahead and get a Tyndale. Go ahead and get whatever one you want. And then take it from there. Seek the kingdom of God is not just reading the Bible. Seeking to be healed is not just eating good food. And that's one of the things that they're talking about. In order to heal people of cancer, so that the cancer itself, you don't just kill out cancer cells like you do with radiation and chemo, which are just poisons and toxins. It's like they refer to it as napalming the cancer. And it's trying to reduce the size of the tumor, which is one of the symptoms of cancer. Because they're treating the cancer. They're trying to cure you. They're not trying to heal you. Well, these other guys are trying to heal you. And they're telling you to do things that you can do on your own. You don't have to send them money. You can do it on your own. Is to change your diet. Change your way. Deal with it. You know, somebody talks about the seven different essentials. And I think it's kind of an interesting itemization of these essentials. But what are those seven? And we'll talk about those. This is going to run on through several shows, but because I'm trying to get you not just to think of cancer as a problem. Cancer is a symptom of a problem. Just to deal with the physical cancer, and this is one of those seven things in the essentials, that they're not, every one of those things don't seem to be dealing with the cancer as their problem. What about my emotional issues have nothing to do with it? My spiritual state has nothing to do with it? It's this tumor. No, it's not just the tumor. You have to change the whole environment. And that's why people go to doctors. Doctor, you fix me. I don't want to change. I don't want to think differently. I don't want to treat people differently. I don't want to treat myself differently. I don't want to eat. I know a guy who had cancer. He was going for his cancer treatments. And he didn't want to stay in the hospital. So he parked his motorhome out in the parking lot. And the reason he didn't want to stay in the hospital while he had his cancer treatments is because he wanted to continue to smoke while he was receiving cancer treatments. You know, you've probably seen in some shows where somebody is, you know, smoking through a tube in their throat because they had cancer and they won't give up the cigarette. It's that crazy. It's that insane. It's that enslaved to a way of thinking. You need to think completely outside the box of the world. The box of the world is selfish. One of the things, you know, you hear me talking about it, public education. Looking for government benefits. If Christians were really doing what Christians were doing in the first century, they would have absolutely no need of government benefits provided by men who call themselves benefactors, the fathers of the earth. That Jesus said, call no man father, but not talking about the fathers of the earth. You wouldn't have any need for them. We have to start looking and thinking completely outside this box that is not of Christ. And that box gets us to think that it's okay to take away from our neighbor as long as we do it through government. There's a whole philosophy that's picked and chosen certain parts of the Bible and say that it's okay. And it's changed our way of thinking. And you can teach people to think the right way, but they still have the choice. And the world is full of influence. Cancerous influences that will affect the way you think and the way you look at the world. They will say, oh, that's okay. This is good because it has good results. The ends justifies the means, but you don't get to really see the ends. So we're talking about this idea, this principle of cancer, this other identity that begins to live within an individual, begins to take over their cells, specifically their stem cells, which is one of the protective agencies of your body. What causes a stem cell to suddenly decide to become a liver, a kidney, or whatever? I mean, this is why they're stealing. Your society is actually cannibalizing the fetuses of children, unborn children, to get as many stem cells as they possibly can so that the medical society can offer you the opportunity of growing, and they're already doing this, they're growing kidneys, ears, other organs, inside of sheep that are from planted cells, stem cells have been planted in those bodies, grown up, and then taken and retransplanted into people. It's macabre. It's like an old B movie science fiction film. But it's all based on the idea of saving yourself. It's okay because those doctors will save me. If my kidneys go, they'll give me a new kidney. They'll grow human skin from these stem cells and livers and what have you. It's all about saving yourself. If even the fungus that we talked about earlier was, if its goal was to save itself, its society would be doomed. Nobody would want to sacrifice themselves to spread the fungus. Sacrifice is essential for the health of society. And on the Facebook page where we were talking before, and somebody was saying they were going to throw out the Bible because they realized all this information about animal sacrifice was false and all this kind of stuff. And I actually was trying to figure out where they were coming from as they were writing this, and I'm not sure how clearly they understand things, but they realized that something was wrong. That's a good start. Don't come to complete conclusions as to what you think is wrong, as if you got it all figured out right away. That's what got you into trouble to begin with, is that you thought that what you were taught was true. And it's hard to change horses in the middle of a race. So, but that's what we have to do. Or we have to turn the horse around that we're on and start going the other way. That's what repentance is. Christ did away with the animal sacrifice of the Pharisees, but the animal sacrifice of the Pharisees had already done away with the precepts of God, which is why the Corban of the Pharisees was making the Word of God to none effect. Sacrifice is still essential, because it's an essential part of the character of Christ. If Christ is in you, you're going to sacrifice. You're going to sacrifice yourself for your children, for your friends, for your neighbors, for your husband, for your wife. You're going to be sacrificing yourself every day for them to give up your time. What makes you feel good, makes you feel comfortable, which removes the symptoms of your anxiety. You're going to sacrifice that for others. That is the nature of Christ. He came to sacrifice himself because he came to serve. You want to cure cancer? Start serving other people. Start caring about somebody else as much or more than you care about yourself. In every aspect of your life. And this is the interesting thing. We pick up, and we had shows on trauma, and we haven't finished that subject. We're going to go back to that. So we've only got 3 shows on trauma. There probably should be 23 shows on trauma. Sin is trauma. Trauma is sin. Cancer is trauma. Cancer is stepping outside of the program that should be guiding every cell of your body. It's going out on its own to save itself. It's become immortal, and now it only serves itself and gets more cells to serve itself. As soon as you cross that line, that DNA line, and that cell becomes this sudden cancer cell, there's no end to the destruction that it will bring to the body. And you have, normally in a good healthy immune system, they always talk about this healthy immune system, you have cancer cells being born every day in your body. And your body kills them. It does it in a variety of ways. Sometimes it will turn off the cancer cells so that it can't feed itself. Sometimes it will actually devour the cancer cell and just assimilate it. It's constantly dealing with it. Because your immune system, it's like, see, if you had a society that was not a socialist society, let's look at cancer in society, that you never decided to go the socialist way. You still, most of the people were still being educated at home or in private schools. That's the way it was before 1910. The reliance on public schools was very small in percentage in America. And most of the public schools were heavily funded by private donations. And public school, as Madison said, was only for the absolute indigent people who had no other means of getting education. And actually, he stepped over a line when he even said that. Because public education is not charity. It is a direct result of men who call themselves benefactors, but exercise authority. all your education in your country, in order for your country to be healthy, must be privately funded by choice. Either you pay for your child's education or your neighbors get together and help pay for it by choice. You must leave the right of choice within each, that is a DNA essential to a free society. Freedom of choice. You can see every day in society today they're trying to take away more choices. Choice of health care, choice of owning a gun, choice of who you go to for a doctor. That spirit of taking away the choice from your neighbor is everywhere. You have to do the reverse. You have to give choices back. You gather together in a congregation, you find out that everybody in your congregation believes in the Holy Trinity, except for this one guy. He's not convinced. So you throw him out. What is that? You can't do that and be following Christ, because Christ didn't do that. He had people who believed all kinds of things. He didn't throw them out. He went amongst the sinners. He gathered with them, ate with them. He gave them the choice. Choose life. Choose the way of Christ. It wasn't about his theology. You know, actually it was, but his theology wasn't about, you know, a list that you have to believe. It was about loving one another. Are you ready to love one another? Start gathering together and find out what that means and how to do that. And you will be on the way to healing of all cancers. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. Let's shift gears a little bit. One of the first things they mentioned in the show when they began to their video series was that in 1971 there was a war on cancer set up by Nixon. Well, you know, there was a war on drugs, too, that was set up, you know. What was that? Was that back in the 60s? I don't know when that started, but we had this war on drugs. The more they had a war on drugs, the more drugs there seemed to be everywhere. And, I mean, I can go on and on and on about stories about that, but the reality is that what they're doing is creating a dialectic. The war on drugs, now they're legalizing the very drugs that thousands of people went to jail for smoking. They're legalizing it in state after state after state. And, you know, of course, they're taxing it. But they're legalizing it. And if you go back to the 20s, it used to be the numbers racket was, you know, an absolute crime. You know, you could be arrested for, you know, carrying the bag in the numbers racket. That gambling was so illegal. And now it's legal. The government does it. They're in the numbers racket. You know, you can go and play the lottery. You know, that used to be arrested for playing the lottery. Now it's legal. So, and holy matrimony has become prostitution. You can get in and out of marriage so quick, it's just ridiculous. And women are prostituting themselves, etc., etc., men, all this stuff. We have, the whole society is moving in a direction of unnatural states. And their war on drugs or war on cancer actually contributes to it. One of the things they pointed out is a lot of the cancer treatments actually, what they're using to cure cancer, which is not healing cancer, again, it's just removing the symptoms, actually they're using carcinogenic substances to do it. They're breaking down your immune system so that in 5 years, you're more likely to ever have cancer. I mean, it's worth it to watch the video and to listen to it and to contemplate the fact that you're hearing about spiritual principles here that are repeated in every aspect of your life, in politics. You think you're going to fix the problems in your political society by electing the right Caesar. That's like saying, oh, I would be healthier if I had a more benevolent cancer. That's what, you know, the big C is Caesar. Which Caesar do you want? You know, Solomon, he broke every rule in the book. He was not a great king in many ways. He screwed up time and time again. Just because he's telling you about this Solomon didn't mean it was a good thing. It was a lot of bad things, but hopefully you would learn your lesson. But most did not want to learn their lesson. And Christ said he's come to bring a sword. There's going to be a division. Real Christians need to start coming together and changing their way of life to the way of life of early Christians. Because you're facing today the decline and fall of the Holy Roman Empire. We're seeing invasions taking place in Europe. We're seeing them taking place in America. But it's not just an invasion of people. The people are not the problem. You're the problem. You're not changing your way of thinking. You're not thinking like Christ. You don't gather together in your congregations to serve. You're still playing religion as if it's what you think. If I think this, you go down this checklist. If I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that there's a Trinity and that there's a Blessed Virgin and, you know, I don't know, whatever's on your list. And I'm not saying any of those things are not true or not. It doesn't matter. What matters, do you love one another as Christ loved you? Are you caring for one another? What are you doing? You know, I mean, if you're looking for a cancer cure, they talk about these, or healing, which is what they really talk about, is that these guys, a lot of them are talking about, we're facilitating the healing of your body by removing the toxins, you know, with cleanses, and by adding nutrients, we're actually turning on the epigenetic DNA that will turn on your DNA and cancers shrink. They begin to shrink on their own. And they have a lot of ideas that are, some of them are good, but if you don't have the idea of living your life for others, caring about others, you're still setting yourself up. That you cannot, Christ cannot live in you unless you begin to manifest the fruits of Christ in your thinking and in your doing. You have to be a doer of the word. The reason you gather together is not to get something from others, but to bring something to others. And that doesn't mean your particular theology, eschatology, or philosophy, or whatever. It means to bring life to others. Care about others. Help others. Strengthen others. Gather together. I mean, if fungus can do it, you can do it. Sheep. They got a brain the size of a softball, or maybe I'm being generous here, baseball, hardball. And they come together. They gather together. They have no defense against the coyotes and the mountain lions and the bobcats. They can't outrun them, they can't outfight them, but they can come together. If you come together, like Christ says, to come together and love one another, Christ will shoot the dang coyote. Or the coyote will destroy himself. That's the way it's got to be. That's the way it's going to be. So, anyway, back to this cancer thing. So, one of the things that you commonly do is you feed your tongue. You want the good feeling of what you like to eat. And they're saying, no, you got to eat this and this, and you have to learn to like to eat this. So you have to learn to like to feed the body. And then one of the things you see a lot of times when people start doing this, they become, you know, the juicing guru in their local community. They're trying to get other people to do the same thing. And that's understandable. And as a matter of fact, that's a little bit of a good sign, that you actually start caring about other people. That has more healing effect than the juice alone. You cannot do this willfully. You have to start sacrificing your will, your comfort, to deal with this invasion that's taking place. Now, at the very beginning, I've correlated this to, like I said, you know, the political, social, even economic. I mean, your economy has been invaded by a cancer. You know, people complain about, you know, you've heard me talk about this, some of you, capitalism. You know, somebody asked me on the Whirlwind Tour, I remember they said, what do you think about capitalism? And I said, well, we haven't had capitalism in this country since 1913. Capitalism is that you have control of the means of production. Well, you don't have control of the means of production. That's what capitalism is, by the way, as opposed to socialism. Socialism, you don't have control over the means of production. The government has control over the means of production, and the means of production is you. You don't have, in socialism, they're going to tell you what you get to keep and what you don't get to keep. They're going to take and take and take. They have the spirit, the cancerous spirit, of taking life from others so that they may have life more abundant. That is the essential ingredient of socialism. That is the essential characteristic of a cancer cell. And a cancer cell doesn't kill anybody. It's millions of cancer cells that kills people, because they begin to take more than the body can even produce, and most people die of cachexia, which is, you know, this depletion of the body when they get cancer. The cancer itself isn't what kills you. And socialism is not going to kill you. And it hasn't killed you yet. But it's going to drain you. The Federal Reserve System is a socialist system. It creates a socialist type money. It's not an actual substantive money. It's that present value. There was this debate just yesterday on Facebook where guys were saying that money is whatever you use as means of exchange. But there's legal tender and there's lawful money. These are two different things. Legal tender can be used as money because it's a means of exchange. You can use seashells as money, as a means of exchange. But does it have present value? Does it have a real value? Coin. As soon as you stamp a value on the coin other than a weight or measure of what is in the coin, now you have turned that into something other than what lawful money is. Coins are not lawful money if you stamp a value on them. Because you're dictating the value. You're saying this coin is worth a dollar. And so they just take the silver out, and then you say that's worth a dollar. We do the same thing in the chemistry of what we eat. You have artificial hormones going around, and they talk about this in the series. And they create it, and they say, well, this is the same as the real hormone. It's not. You know, I listen on the radio and hearing them talking about food additives, you know, tastes like real fruit. It's not real fruit. It's a substitute. It's not going to produce the same results. No wonder you have cancer. You know, that's one of the things they, Marcola and some of the others, talk about, is eat real food. Well, are you producing real food? See, this is why you need a network of Christians that are into CSAs, community-supported agriculture, into not just getting the label organic, because the label organic doesn't mean that it's really organic anymore. They have so many exceptions that you may not be eating healthy food even if you're eating organic. You know, we could use the term kosher, or we can use the blessed. If you begin to gather together with the character of Christ and stop pretending to believe in Christ or pretending to keep your eyes on Jesus, but actually beginning to live like Jesus, where you gather together to serve one another, you will begin to produce a different kind of society in the world, but not of the world. You will begin to produce your own foods, your own seed sources, your own healing care for one another. But you have to come together and start giving of yourself, sacrificing daily. You got these goofy guys who want to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem and start the daily sacrifice, and they're actually out looking for a pure red heifer so that they can sacrifice the red heifer to bring about prophecy. You're bringing about your own demise and death with that kind of approach to faith. You just need to really sacrifice yourself. I remember one of my daughters had somebody who was having all kinds of emotional issues, and no wonder, I could tell you on and on, but I won't. But basically, they said, you don't need to do this. She said, you don't need to do that. You need to start caring about somebody else. She could see that. She says, just go down somewhere and volunteer and help somebody else who is in need more than you. Start thinking about somebody else's need. And they tried it, and they said that was just amazing. We have been geared to be a selfish society. 100 years of fast track moving towards a selfish society. That's not what Christ taught. You can go to whatever church you want. If you're not changing your approach to society, to yourself, I mean, why do you want to live? You got cancer. Why do you want to live? Because you want to live? Or do you want to live to serve others? Serve your family. Serve your neighbor. Because when you have that attitude, you are actually doing more to heal yourself than anything else. Stop trying to save yourself. Try to serve others. You're not necessarily trying to save everybody else. You can't save them anyway. But you can teach them service. Somebody asked me the other day on an email that how do you teach somebody about the pride that's keeping them from seeing the truth? And I wrote back, if I remember right, from the baptismal pool of humility. You have to immerse yourself in humility. It's contrast that shows people. It's not philosophy. It's not teaching. You know, I'm not going to teach you a set of facts and then you're going to know God. You're going to know God because you begin to walk in the footsteps of Christ. And basically, when you begin to walk in those footsteps of Christ, you're going to discover how un-Christ-like you are. Now, real quick, to go back a little bit, I mentioned trauma. We had a number of technical difficulties. Trauma is sin, and sin is trauma. Show you how this works, how the insidious nature of cancer can get into you at a very early age. You will be traumatized. You know, like, I've known people who were molested when they were 8 years old, when they were 14 years old. And you can see in them a certain level of character where they stop developing at that point where they were molested or violated. You can be molested in a lot of different, emotionally you can be molested. Molested by fear, anxiety. You know, your parents go through a trauma event, maybe a divorce, you know, death, disease. And this traumatizes you. You know, like somebody was... their mother died when they were like 2 years old, 3 years old. And this affected their growth and maturity from then on. And finally, when they came to grips with the fact that they resented their mother for abandoning them. And she says, well, she didn't abandon me, she thought at first, because she died. It wasn't her fault. But to a small child, you were there and then you're not there. They have a sense of abandonment. They don't have to think this all out. But it scarred her. That's trauma. Because she resented the abandonment instead of forgiving it. And so she carried it with her for 80 years or 70 years. Until she finally came to grips with it. Dealing with elderly, sick in bed or old age or whatever it is, when you begin to touch them, you bring them to their point of their trauma. You helped heal them, and you sacrificed your time, your energy to do that. That heals you. It heals you. They may still die, but you actually will see occasionally healing in them. We're on a limited schedule. We should live forever, like those cancer cells. But we're destroying the very society that we live in, because we are a part of that cancer. Repenting is thinking another way. We're not thinking about saving ourselves. We're thinking about saving others, helping others, awakening others. And in return, God will awaken us to the next level. This is how you heal all these cancers in society. Now, I could go on and on for hours about the different ways, you know, I just touched on, you know, cancers in politics, cancers in society itself, in the economy. And we create these cancerous relationships in society and politics and eventually in our bodies. I mean, we're at such a fast track, you would think, oh, this cannot go on for much longer. And the whole body will die. There will be a total collapse. So we are on a road to destruction. But you can still turn around. It will take a miracle to save you at this point. But that's what the kingdom of God is all about. It's about miracles. But you actually have to change your direction. Choose to change your direction. You have to walk in another direction. You have to start doing something other than what you've been doing, which is selfish. You've been enabling sin in others. You've been traumatizing others, passing on the trauma to you. And this is one of the things that I'm realizing is that sometimes the trauma is when we're in the womb. Sometimes the trauma is when we're in the crib. And it carries with us for ages. And what happens is that we create a place in us where a spirit can inhabit us like a cancer cell living in us. And it will just lay there. It won't attack you. It won't destroy you. But it will affect you. It will affect your growth. And what's happening as you get bigger, its place in you gets bigger. As you get older, its place in you becomes more affirmed. And then when you have children or you deal with other people, you will pass on that trauma to them, that destruction to them. And you don't even know it's coming. You don't even see it. Because salvation is not an intellectual journey. It's a spiritual journey. So that's why I talk about cancer and all these different aspects of society, to realize that it is a spiritual DNA that brings about cancer. You want the spiritual DNA of Christ. You want the name of Christ, all the letters of His DNA in you. And some of these areas inside you where sin dwells, it has found a habitation. It's not your sin, somebody else's sin, abuse of you, but it got in because you lacked forgiveness. People say that I keep my eyes on Jesus because Jesus died for my sins and that's why I am saved. But Jesus says, if you do not forgive others, neither will my Father forgive you. No matter who, you want to keep your eye on that phrase? Who have you not forgiven? You live in a bankrupt society. Every country in the world lives in a bankrupt society where you can get benefits from a government that is borrowing against your children's and your neighbor's children's future. Every society is doing that. They're cursing their children with debt. They're passing on the trauma of their own lust and avarice and wantonness to their children. They should become cancers. They have made a home in themselves for cancer. We need to change that. Now, I know that many of you are trying to make that change, but that change has to become complete. And there are many levels. Now, watch that. And what we would like to do is train up more and more ministers so that when they walk into a room, And it's not a matter of just intellectual, physical training. This is a spiritual journey. You're going to have to deal with the frustration of the fact that you can't heal anyone. Only God can heal. The character of God. All you can do is bring the character of God into the room with that person. Touch them with the character of God. Not touch them necessarily physically. You can do that, because that's part of the process. But your physical being cannot heal them. The Spirit of God dwelling in you can heal them. So we need more and more people who want to dedicate their lives to service of others, so that they can walk into homes, walk into congregations and communities, and touch them with that service, with that caring for their life as much as you care for your own. We need to get on a diet of love for one another. If you're going to heal the cancers that we face, which are in every aspect of our lives, we need to start doing that. And we need to start doing it in earnest. You need to start giving of your time, your energy, even your money. I don't care who do you give it to. You have to decide that. I give you the choice. God has given you the choice. I didn't create giving you the choice. I want you to have the choice. But you need to start living your life as if you loved other people. And when you find out how selfish you are, repent of that and start living that part of your life that way too. Now, in the meantime, there are layers and layers and layers of trauma that are going to try to keep you from that. Just like there are all kinds of cells in your body that are becoming cancerous every day, and your body is killing them, and all of a sudden somebody gets out of control and it kills you. We all are on limited time. We all have to turn around and go this other way. And until we do, peace upon your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.